KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, Oakland's police chief Ann Kirkpatrick is out. She was fired last night after Oakland's civilian-led police commission voted unanimously to oust Kirkpatrick with the blessing of Mayor Libby Schaaf. Some city and community leaders say they were taken by surprise. We learn more. Then we look into Ring, that makes those video doorbells that help you feel more secure about the packages on your porch, but also record your mail carrier. Well, the company is partnering with Bay Area police departments, and privacy advocates are demanding more oversight. Some neighbors also object to feeling like they're being spied on. We look at the broader implications of the Ring device. Join us after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Oakland's Police Commission and Mayor have fired OPD Chief Ann Kirkpatrick.
The Oakland Police Commission voted unanimously to join Mayor Schaaf in terminating the Chief of Police.
The firing followed months of strained relations between the commission and the department, stemming in part from the commission's decision last summer to terminate five officers involved in a controversial 2018 shooting. Joining me to tell us more is Jim Shannon. He's a civil rights attorney who brought the suit in 2000 against the Oakland police, which is known as the Riders case, that resulted in a negotiated settlement with the OPD. Jim Shannon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And also
nice
with us,
to be here.
Yes, appreciate you being here. Also with us is Henry Lee. He's a crime reporter for KTVU and a former reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle and the Daily Californian. Henry Lee, thanks for being with us as well.
My pleasure, Mina.
So, Henry, start us off. What led to the breakdown in the relationship between Kirkpatrick and the police department? I mentioned the 2018 issue. Tell us a little bit more about that and what else.
Well, the commission began to lose faith in the chief after the deadly officer-involved shooting of a man named Joshua Pollack. He was mentally ill. The police said the officer, or the chief said the officers had every right to use deadly force, but the commission and the independent monitor disagree. So they butted heads from there. But also, amid the background that Jim can also talk about, this ongoing reforms, the department has recently backslid in its efforts to move this department into full compliance. And there's all these other issues as well that did not sit well with the commission.
Yes. So, Jim Shannon, tell us more about that. So Mayor Libby Schaaf cited that she was in touch with the monitor who was dealing with the court-ordered reforms related to the Riders case, which was about excessive use of force to some extent. I mean, was the police chief not doing a good job in complying with those court-ordered reforms?
Yes. Well, first of all, I wanted to make it clear I do the case also with John Burris. But turning to your question, they were very, very close to being in substantial compliance at the beginning of 2019. They were out of compliance with only three tasks, or in partial compliance with only three tasks, which were internal affairs, task 5, racial profiling, task 34, and consistency of discipline, task 45. In the course of 2019, they increased their out of compliance number from 3 to 8. So they went out of compliance with 5 additional tasks, and that's just moving in the wrong direction after we've been here 17 years as of January on this consent decree. We thought we were close to ending, and now we think we're as far apart, far from finishing, as we've been in quite some time. So, I really like the chief personally. I'm sorry for her as a human being, but she was not moving the department in the right direction. We were going further and further from full compliance, and I think it was time to make a change.
So then were you involved in any way in her firing? I know that, you know, previous police chief firings, you have given your input.
No, this time it came, as Henry said, it came from the police commission. They are the ones who came up with the idea, apparently got a unanimous vote and made the decision. So we were not involved on this one.
But then do you think, though, that her firing is justified based on the lack of progress that you were seeing, that the lack of progress was egregious?
Well, let's say I think it was necessary. I don't think that we would have ever made it under her tenure. And after 17 years, we want to get this done, not, of course, in an unprincipled way, but in a principled way. And it was hard to see, given the direction we were moving, that she was going to get it done.
Henry Lee, can you talk about the police commission's powers and how unusual they are relative to the way other police departments are overseen in the rest of the country?
Well, in most cities, the city manager or the mayor has the power to fire the police chief. But in Oakland, the voters voted in approved a measure called LL back in 2016 that gave this police commission the power to do the firing. And, of course, this is unprecedented. This is not heard of, in which an actual commission votes unanimously to sack the top cop. And the chief knew this as she came in back in 2017, a year after the voters approved this. But of course, when she came in, everyone had the optimism and the hope that she'd be able to turn this department around. But we've seen many chiefs come and go. I've been covering the Oakland police since the mid-90s, and I dare say, and I've heard this before, you could be God's gift to earth. And as the police union has said, you know, it is one of the most challenging jobs in law enforcement, the police chief of Oakland, with all these stakeholders and all these elements of the community, you're going to end up upsetting one person or another or some facet in it. That's going to be your downfall.
Well, let me ask our listeners for their reactions to the firing of the police chief. You can call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Or you can get in touch on Twitter, on Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. What are your reactions to this move? What are your questions about it for our guests? So, Henry Lee, I think it does bear reminding that there was a time in 2016 when the Oakland Police Department went through, what, three chiefs in a matter of 9 days. It's been very hard to keep someone on the job for a significant period of time. And so can you talk about the instability that the department saw? And really, in some ways, Kirkpatrick was being held up as someone who brought stability for the first time in quite a while.
Right. She was the department's first female police chief, brought in after the sex exploitation scandal of the teenage sex worker involved with numerous police officers. So the mayor said that she was the right person with the warmth and charisma and the promise to bring accountability to this department in the wake of that scandal. But as we've seen before,
but she wasn't a sex worker, right? She was a young woman who was the daughter of a dispatcher, correct?
That is correct, and she had been involved in sex work, apparently. And at this point, Sean Wendt was forced out as police chief, and we had that time in 1 week where several folks stepped up to be interim chief and then declined to do that and moved on to their former roles in the department. So it is a very challenging job. All eyes are on you, and you have the specter of this decades-old writer's misconduct civil litigation going on. And on a daily basis, you've got gun crimes, you've got officer-involved shootings and homicides. Now, keep in mind, the mayor did credit and thank Chief Kirkpatrick for lowering the number of officer-involved shootings, but, of course, the one that involved Joshua Pollack helped lead to her downfall. So a lot of great strides made by Chief Kirkpatrick, but ultimately that was not enough for her to save the job.
Well, Jim Shannon, can you respond to Henry's point that a lot of people have said this is an incredibly hard job and that you could be amazing? You know, you could have a halo and still not satisfy the people that you need to satisfy. And given the length of time that it's taken for these reforms to you know, actually happen, do you think that relative to other police chiefs that she was to some extent not distinct in her inability to implement them?
No, I think Sean Wendt brought the department to the brink of compliance.
Could you just give an example, though, of just some of the key reforms that needed to take place that, you know, we're backsliding on?
Okay. Well, there's task two, which was completing investigations for 180 days. We were in COPD was in compliance with that for 4 or 5 years, and we went out of compliance under her tenure. There's task 24, use of force reporting. The department's own OIG, in a sensational disclosure, found that large numbers of officers were not reporting the use of force, and that's why the numbers had gone down so much. There was task 25, use of force investigations and report responsibility, which was related to task 24. There was task 26, force review board, which the monitor was very unhappy about one of their decisions regarding the use of a beanbag on a homeless person who was standing there and talking to other officers. He arrived on the scene and shot the guy with a beanbag gun. There's task 45, consistency of discipline. And we just had Hillard Hines, who was retained by the city, and they found that African-American officers are being disciplined at a rate 39% higher than white officers. So there's racial bias going on.
Well, thank you.
Oakland Police's own Internal Affairs Department. All those things happened under Chief Kirkpatrick's era, and they had been, most of these things had been in compliance for many, many years, and they just came out of compliance during her tenure. So
you feel like these things are very doable for a police chief to do? Yeah, you feel like this is not asking too much and that this doesn't make the job practically impossible?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen the city of Detroit under Chief Warshaw's, he was monitor there. They're out of compliance. We've seen cities. They're finished with their consent decree, and they are just they shed themselves of any oversight. There are cities all across this country who have complied with agreements like this. And in fact, the Oakland Police Department not only approved this agreement but wrote a great part of it through the experts they hired in 2002 and 2003. So this is not an agreement that's impossible to achieve.
So then
it has
why,
been achieved in other cities.
Forgive me. So then why has it been so hard?
One of the reasons it's been so hard is the inability of command staff to frankly do their job. I think the officers have done for almost unanimously, with few exceptions, a really good job. And I'm proud of all the men and women in the Oakland Police Department, and I'm sorry they're having to go through this. But there's 20, 30 officers who are causing a lot of the problems. And the supervisors and the commanders are just unwilling or unable to get them in line and to show they have a system that can properly identified. A lot of the commanders know who they are. It's once they are identifying divide, do something about them. That's the number one problem that I see.
I see. Well, let me go to some of our callers, and I'll start with Lucas in San Jose. Hi, Lucas.
Yes. I had a question about the possibility of dissolving OPD. I know unincorporated parts of Alameda County, they could just contract with the Sheriff's Department. Would that at all be a possibility?
Mm. Jim Shannon, you want to weigh in on that?
Yes, I would rather have OPD any day of the week than the Sheriff's Department. I think, as I said before, that the vast majority of Oakland police are doing a commendable job under difficult circumstances, and I don't think it's reached the point where we need to dissolve OPD.
Well, Lucas, thanks for the question. Let me go next to Carl in Oakland. Hi, Carl.
Hello, how's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
So my question is more so, since we're firing Kirkpatrick and we're going to, that means that there's going to be candidates for the upcoming chief of police. Are we looking into getting someone with the background of the Oakland people, you know, someone that's going to be more ethically, you know, from that culture, that understands the people, that understands what's going on? Because what it sounds like to me, it sounds like a lot of the backsliding that we're having from Kirkpatrick, she doesn't seem, if from my opinion, I wouldn't assume that she would at all relate to the people of Oakland. I mean, Oakland's a very diverse community. It's a very ethnic community, and it's a very unique community in one and whole. I'm from the area, so for me, it seems to me that we got to stop putting in these people that do not relate to the people that are not on top of the hill and are actually in the bottom of Oakland and living within this community.
Carl, thanks. And so, Henry, first, do you think Carl's right that she really had a tough time relating to the communities that she was policing? And also, you know, in terms of who's next, who could be the best fit as a police chief after Kirkpatrick? I mean, you were there when they had the press conference last night with Mayor Libby Schaaf saying that they would conduct a national search. I mean, what is she saying she's looking for?
Well, that's the age-old question, Mina. Should someone from inside lead the Oakland Department, or should an outsider with a fresh perspective come in? We've had this for decades now. We've had people come in. We've had the Allegheny County Sheriff's Office top person come in. We've had outsiders. I remember the specific time when Anthony Batts, who was Long Beach chief, came in, and over the police scanner, they were talking about it, you know, rank-and-file cops, and they were saying, who? You know, it's either you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because an insider is going to be accused of cronyism and, you know, much of the old guard, yet an outsider is always going to be accused of someone coming in, not knowing anything about the community. Now, for Mayor Schaaf's part, she says she is open to, as she said many times in the past, to both internal and external candidates. So we have a fairly well-regarded assistant chief, Darren Allison, who rose up through the ranks. He was the assistant chief. He's now the acting chief until they name a interim chief and then later on a permanent chief.
And what's your assessment of her relationship with the community, Henry Lee?
She did seem to reach out, and she was visible at community meetings, less so in recent months, but she was definitely on the scene of many high-profile crimes, such as the Montclair laptop theft victim who was trying to get his computer back outside the Starbucks, only to be hit by the suspect's car. She's shown up at Children's Hospital every time a child was injured or shot. So she has made great strides, as I've said before, being out there, taking pains to be visible and to connect with different facets of the community. But that's what every police chief should do, and it remains to be seen whether you have what it takes to appease, satisfy, mollify, say what you will, every single stakeholder in the community. That is a tough challenge.
Well, Jim Shannon, can you say any more about Darren Allison, who is stepping in for Ann Kirkpatrick now?
Well, I wish him well. I think he'll probably just be interim, but I think he's extremely competent. I saw in Berkeley when I did a lawsuit there that he refused to carry out certain commands that were contrary to OPD policy, such as hitting people who hadn't done anything, just to force them back to Oakland, quote unquote. That I read that on the CAD report. So he stood up to that and said no. So I think he has integrity. I also think there are others in the department who have integrity, and I hope the mayor will take a hard look at the people she already has, as well as go outside, because I think this time, unlike before, there might be some very competent people available within the Oakland Police Department.
Well, Henry Lee,
yes. People who are closer to what the caller said, who actually live here, who have the diversity to be more like the community they're going to be in charge of the police for.
Well, Oakland's Police Officers Association, Henry Lee, expressed disappointment in the firing of Ann Kirkpatrick. And Barry Donilon said something along the lines in his statement of these events don't bode well for public safety in Oakland. I mean, what is he getting at here? And is public safety at risk during these kinds of transitions?
Well, I would not say so. I know that the men and women of the Oakland Police Department, as the union repeatedly says, will do their job proudly and honorably, no matter who the police chief is. Now, obviously, they want to have a leader in place. They will do their jobs no matter who is chief. But again, you know, it's a very politicized environment where every single action is so scrutinized by not only the community members, but the police chiefs, rather the police union and all these stakeholders in the community. So it's just, as I said before, you could have a halo on your head and still fail because man, by the end of the day, you're going to upset someone.
Regardless, though, there is a cost to turnover of that leadership position. This listener wants to know, you know, what is the cost in dollars? What is the emotional cost to the community of the constant turnover? Any thoughts on that, Jim Shannon?
Obviously, we would like someone to be here for a while. And there is a cost in turnover, but there's also a cost in keeping someone when we're not making progress and actually backsliding in the negotiated settlement tasks. I really hope this next person stays a long time, brings us to the conclusion of the NSA. I understand why Mr. Lee thinks it's virtually impossible. But I believe that it's not impossible. I believe the right person is out there. I believe it's a very, very difficult job. I think in order to succeed, you are going to have to risk upsetting some people, and you are going to have to risk your job because you're going to have to do things that some people don't like in order to make this department go in the direction that we want it to go. It's not about pleasing everybody. It's about doing the right thing and moving us forward, not only in NSA compliance, but in effective law enforcement and getting the reputation that we really deserve.
Civil rights attorney Jim Shannon, thanks so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Henry Lee, crime reporter for KTBU. Appreciate hearing your thoughts as well, Henry Lee.
Thank you, Mina.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments. We will have a half hour now looking at the Ring device. So stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.